Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's the music of Jan Dismas Zelenko. Even if you're a serious classical music fan, you may not have heard of him, because unlike his contemporaries, say Bach, Handel, or Corelli, Zelenko's music languished in obscurity until it was rediscovered in the mid-20th century, and then even later by four area musicians who've fallen in love with Zelenko and what they call his rockin' Baroque style. You'll hear why in just a second. The four musicians are launching a new series this month they call the Boston Zelenko Project. Cameron Kirkpatrick plays the oboe and is general director. Ben Fox, also on oboe, is Zelenko's music director. And Sebastian Chavez plays bassoon. Thank you, gentlemen, for all coming into Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Cameron, tell me, where did the idea for this project come from?
The idea came from I wanted to get back into playing the oboe, and I found some colleagues that I went to the New England Conservatory with, and they thought it was a good idea, and before you know it, we had a full-fledged group.
But why choose Baroque music?
You know, because Baroque was sort of the golden era for the oboe, and a lot of really super virtuosic pieces were written during that era, and especially these pieces that we're concentrating on, these Zelenko pieces.
And Ben and Sebastian, are there particular reasons why you wanted to join the Boston Zelenko Project?
Zelenko is one of those notorious composers that poses many challenges, especially for the oboists, in terms of virtuosity required and endurance and stamina. This is a rather unusual challenge that we get in playing chamber music.
Also, my main reason for this group is to show the audience that Baroque music is not old music at all. It's really new, and we can make it new. We can put a lot of new ideas, and we can really reinvent what it is.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Jan Dismas Zelenko, for those who don't know him.
He was a Bohemian composer. He grew up near Prague, but soon moved to Dresden, which was really the center of musical activity in early 18th century Europe.
Yeah, and, you know, Zelenko was a really prolific composer. He wrote a lot of pieces that were more religious-based, sort of lots of masses, but these sonatas that we're working on are actually the only secular pieces that Jan Dismas Zelenko ever composed.
Mm. So oftentimes when you think of Baroque music, you think of composers such as Bach. So why is it that we haven't heard that much about Zelenko?
Because he was based in what is now the Czech Republic, you know, based out of Prague, he was sort of behind the Iron Curtain, and a lot of people only recently began exploring his work since the 1960s, especially in this country.
Also, unlike Bach and Handel, composers that many people have heard of from the Baroque era, who wrote keyboard music and other chamber music that could be performed in the amateur's home, these pieces, being the only instrumental music he wrote, were not suitable for amateurs.
You know, with pieces that Bach wrote, I think he did a better job of marketing himself, because he wrote pieces for you know women, or usually women or people to play in their homes, like Ben said. And so, in order to play Zelenko's works, you basically need to hire out an orchestra, and you know, usually an organ. And so they weren't very consumer friendly, as far as being able to be played in one's home.
Well, speaking of instruments, you've brought your instruments into the studio, and Sebastian, I see you have your beautifully large bassoon there. So why don't we hear a little bit of Zelenko? What are you going to play for us?
Sure, we're going to play the first sonata in F major for two oboes, bassoon, and basso continuo by Jan Dismas Zelenko. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. It was absolutely beautiful. And in listening to the music, it really makes me think, you know, why haven't we heard more of Zelenka? We spoke about Bach earlier and other better-known composers, and there's others such as George Philipp Telemann. I wonder, for you as musicians, how does Zelenka's music differ in how you play it versus, say, someone like Telemann?
Well, for me, I think these Zelenka sonatas are super challenging, and they're really quite intricate. And the way that Zelenka writes for the oboe, it's really, really intense, very tightly interwoven melodies that layer over each other very differently than let's say, Bach's melodies does.
Can you give us an example of a little bit of how Zelenka might sound different than one of these other composers?
Sure. I'll play an excerpt from this Trio Sonata No. 2 by Jan Dismas Zelenka. In the second movement, it's a quite fun, fast, and furious rock out, and it's really fun and intense. So we'll play a little bit of that for you.
Great. Thank you so much for that. You can really hear the speed of the notes there at the end. Do you happen to have with you music from, say, a different Baroque composer that we can hear in comparison?
Sure. We brought some Quants.
And who is Quants?
Johann Joachim Quants was another player in the Dresden Orchestra. He actually studied with Zelenka briefly, took counterpoint with him one day, and I think it's very interesting to note that because while there are some surface similarities, his music is not nearly as contrapuntal or, we think, as intricate harmonically as his teacher.
Let's hear some. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, Sebastian, sure. You said something a little earlier that really caught my attention, that for you, Baroque music isn't old music. And, you know, I'm looking at the three of you, and I would not say any of you are old. Are you in your, I'm guessing, in your 20s?
Early 30s.
Yeah, good. That makes 30. Me feel better. So why? I mean, it seems like a lot of young classical musicians these days want to actually play new composers. Why is it that you, Sebastian, think that old essentially is new again?
Well, I believe that we are full of ideas, and I think it's our mission to put those ideas into practice. And this music calls for it because it just needs to be reinvented. And we can really play this music differently every day. And that's the beauty of it. It never stops. You can never stop filling it with ideas of your own.
The date of composition is one factor to take into consideration, but the Zelenka sonatas were really only discovered in the 50s. So if you take it in that respect, they're only 60 years old. We've had only that much exposure to them.
And all great art, I mean, is meant to be reinterpreted by modern people. I mean, that's what makes it great. I mean, that's what makes it last. And to have our personalities infused with this piece of music that was composed in the 1700s, I mean, that's a really great, wonderful new thing.
I love to hear also how you consider it to be rockin' music.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I've been speaking with three members of the Boston Zelenka Project. I should also say that you have a harpsichordist who plays with you regularly. But with me today are Cameron Kirkpatrick. He plays oboe and is the general director. Ben Fox, also on oboe, he is Zelenka's music director, and Sebastian Chavez plays the bassoon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we go out on a little bit of music that features all four members of the Boston Zelenka Project. What are we going to be listening to?
This is the second movement of the first sonata, which features Zelenka's extended fugal writing, where you can hear this theme passed around between all three parts of the trio sonata.
Boston Zelenka Project presents its first concert this Thursday, January 20th at 7 p.m. in Jamaica Plain. To learn more about the Boston Zelenka Project, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, depression or ADHD or anxiety. They make a pill for those and so many other psychiatric disorders. But with so many medications out there and many millions of Americans using them, why are so many people still suffering? We'll talk to one author who says it may be the drugs themselves that are behind a growing mental illness epidemic. That's tomorrow, but share your thoughts now online at wbur.org/Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. Thank you.